as I said before, good evening to you all. I have to tell you that the meeting is being recorded this evening for subsequent publication on the council's website. If that formality is over, there is in fact a recording piece of recording equipment in front of us, in addition to the one which we all heard about last meeting. Okay, first item on the agenda: apologies for absence, please.
Chairman, we have apologies from Councillor Horner, Councillor Shrimpton, and Councillor Platt.
Thank you very much.
We also have an apology from Councillor Sisney, who has been delayed with the transport. He will get here as soon as he can.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 2 is to confirm the minutes of the Council held on the 11th of September, bound on the blue pages 1 to 13. Matches of accuracy only, please. Anything on page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Is it your wish I sign that as a true record of the meeting? Thank you. Agenda item 3 is declaration of interest, and that's to declare the existence and nature of any personal or personal and prejudicial interests relating to items on the agenda in regard to paragraphs 8 to 12 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for Members. Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to declare pecuniary interest in order paper number 6, minutes K, and in particular minute 460, as I'm a director and trustee of Stowmare's Airdrome. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mr. Harker.
Thank you, Chairman. Agenda item 8, personal interest, as I responded to the consultation, and agenda item 10, personal interest, as Chairman of the Essex Out and Down Association, I have received grants from the Essex Community Foundation.
Thank you. Leader of the Council.
Thank you, Chairman. Declare a non-pecuniary interest in as a member of Essex County Council. I think in particular to the moment to agenda item 8 and 10, and if any other issue arises, I'll say so at the time.
Thank you. Are there any other interests, Councillor Miss White?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to declare an interest in agenda item 8 and every agenda item that may affect the LDP, because I have a non-pecuniary interest.
Thank you. Are there any others? Right, thank you very much. Now we have agenda item 4, public questions. I see there's no member of the public, so I presume there are no questions. Agenda item 5 is Chairman's announcements. Oh, I do beg your pardon, sir. You're hiding down there that low bit. Yes, during the course of, or since the last meeting, I've attended various functions on your behalf, and as has the Vice Chairman, for which I thank him. I think one of the most interesting things, which was getting up very early in the morning to start the walkers and runners on the Saltmarsh 75. I think they're all crazy, but they all seem to be enjoying themselves, and it did district the power of good. I did also attend a very interesting event at the Plume, where some young people did a media project, and I was very impressed with one of the young chaps who was kind of the leader of this group who did this media project. It was only part of work experience, but since his work experience has led him to start his own business. So it's nice to see a bit of entrepreneurial thing amongst young people. Right, thank you for that. Next item on the agenda is to receive item 6, which is to receive the minutes of the under-mentioned committees. And the first one is the Central Area Planning Committee, and that's Councillor Kane. He doesn't seem to be here, so would Councillor Williams please present the minutes.
I rise to present the minutes of the Central Area Planning Committee held on the 20th of August in this chamber for their reception and adoption.
Have a second of that. Thank you very much. Please carry on.
Page 1.
Just use the microphone, please, Councillor Williams.
Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. I so move.
Thank you.
Will agree. Thank you. That's 6 little B, which is North Western Area Committee on the 1st of September. Councillor Mrs. Thompson, please.
Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Williams, do you turn off your microphone there, please? Thank you.
Right, I'm presenting, Chairman, the minutes of the North Western Area Planning Committee held on the 1st of September in this chamber and found on pages 11 to 22 inclusive, and move their reception and adoption.
A seconder for that, please. Thank you. Carry on, please, Mr. Dunn.
Page 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 and 22. I so move.
Members agreed. Thank you.
Thank you.
6 little C, Community Services Committee. Councillor Darren, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I rise to present the minutes of the Community Services Committee held on the 2nd of September in this chamber. The minutes to be found on pages 23 to 27, and request the reception and adoption.
Seconded, please. Thank you very much. Carry on,
Page 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, I so move.
Thank you very much. 6 little D, Appointments Committee. Councillor Boyce, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Appointments Committee. Chairman, and with your consent, I will bunch several of them together on the in relation to the Planning and Development of Resources Appointments Committee on the 8th of September, the 19th of September, and the 3rd of October. That's pages 28 to 30. 66 to 67 and 94 to 95, and move their reception and adoption.
I second that. Please proceed.
Page 28, page 30, 29, 30, and 60, page 66, 67,
95.
And page 94. And 95. I so move, Chairman. Chairman, the Appointments Committee on page 64 is in relation to the Director of Resources,
right,
and is a separate issue.
Right. Our members agree to accept those relating to the Director of Planning. Okay, that brings us into 6E, the South Eastern Area Planning Committee. Councillor Pratt doesn't seem to be here, so will Councillor Derrick please present the minutes?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I'd like to present the minutes of the South Eastern Area Planning Committee held in the Birdermont Touch Town Council offices on the 8th of September 2014. Found on pages 31 to 49 and move the reception and adoption.
Thank you. Is that seconded, please, or all over the place? Please carry on.
Thank you. 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48 and 49. I so move.
Thank you, Member Green. That brings us to 6F, which is the Central Area Planning Committee on the 17th of September. Councillor Williams again, please.
Thank you. I rise to present the minutes of Central Area Planning Committee held on the 17th of September to be found on pages 50 to 63 for their reception and adoption.
Second, we're all over the place, please carry on.
Page 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, and 63.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis.
I so move.
6 little G is another Appointments Committee, the Leader of the Council, please.
Thank you, Chairman. This is in relation to the Director of Resources Appointments Committee contained on pages 64 to 65. I move their reception and adoption.
Seconded here, please carry on.
Page 64, 65, so move.
Thank you very much. That brings us to the 6I, which is the minutes of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on the 23rd of September. Councillor Fluka, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held in this chamber on the 23rd of September, found on pages 68 to 71, and commend the reception and adoption to Council, Chairman.
Seconded, please. Thank you. Please continue.
Page 68, page 69, page 70, page 71, I so move.
Thank you very much. Members agree. 6J is the Audit Committee, held on the 25th of September. Councillor Harper, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Audit Committee held in this chamber on the 25th of September, contained on pages 72 to 78, and move their reception and adoption.
Seconded, please. Seconded, yeah. Please carry on.
72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, I so move.
Members agree, thank you. Brings us to 6K, the Planning and Licensing Committee. Councillor Mrs. Chandler, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Firstly, Chairman, I must apologise for my lateness, but it was unavoidable. And also, Chairman, I must declare no pecuniary interest in any item of business that relates to Essex County Council, being an Essex County Councillor, beg your pardon. I rise to present the minutes, Chairman, of the Planning and Licensing Committee held on the 2nd of October 2014 in this chamber and found on pages 79 to 93, and move their reception and adoption, Chairman.
Seconded, thank you very much. Please continue.
Page 79, Chairman, page 80, page 81, page 82, page 83, page 84, page 85, page 86, page 87, page 88, page 89, it sounds like football for you, isn't it? Page 90, page 91, page 92, page 93, Chairman, recommendation, I so move.
Thank you very much. Brings us to 6M, which is the North Western Area Planning Committee. Councillor Mrs. Thompson, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I beg to present the minutes of the North Western Area Planning Committee held in this chamber on the 6th of October and to be found on pages 96 to 116. I so move.
Second that, please continue.
96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116. I so move.
That brings us very neatly to agenda item 7, with questions in accordance with rule 6, where we have had none, which brings us then to agenda item 8, for which you have an addendum on your desk, and the leader will present this report, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I move the recommendations contained on page 5 of 5, of this report, Chairman. This is a very important part of the LDP process. It is the Holbridge Garden suburb response to the consultation document. It follows the Melbourne Garden suburb, which Council has approved. There is a list of consultants that have responded to this document. There is responses, officers' responses to those documents. None of the information either in this document or the addendum, none of the issues in the addendum raise any new issues that aren't already covered in this, and there are some minor amendments that are being proposed as a result of a consultation. Chairman, this has been a large exercise for the council in consultation with the public, and it is rather strange that there is apparently so few responses to it. I think from the public itself, outside of the consultees, statutory consultees, there's only about 18 residents. However, Chairman, as I have moved those recommendations that the North Hayward Garden suburb set out in Appendix 2 be agreed, and that 2, that this master plan, this strategic master plan framework as amended, be endorsed as a material consideration. I think it is very important that material consideration is noted. Whether people want housing or not, if they are going to have them, they need to be organised and produced in such a way as to make it quite clear what our intentions for the good planning of the district are. Chairman, if Mrs. Channer wishes to add anything, I'd be quite happy to take that.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, just to say, I obviously concur with everything that the leader has said. I mean, members may recall at the last meeting of the council we had the South Malden Garden Suburbs Framework, so this is very much along the lines of that, Chairman. And just to say, of course, the policies in the LDP do set out the council's requirements for the North Heybridge Garden Suburb. It is a framework and it must be in accordance with the LDP, and once endorsed by the council, this framework will provide supplementary guidance which will take the form of a material consideration in the determining of planning applications. So it's nothing different to what happened at the South Malden one, and that reiterates just what the chairman, sorry, the leader has said about the importance of this document. I've got nothing further to add, Chairman, except to say, of course, I support the recommendations.
Do members agree with the recommendations? Yes. Cheshire.
Thank you, Chairman. No, I don't agree with the recommendation, as you would expect. The leader's comment about the supplementary planning document, I'm a little bit confused about that, because I understand that it's not really a material consideration in planning and would not be part of the development plan. So I don't really know what the status of this document is. But I'll go on to say that I really have four major queries, and that's the flood alleviation scheme, the new road that's being proposed, the viability and the deliverability of the scheme. There's nothing new that's come to me that would suggest that the viability or the deliverability of the scheme is progressing. In fact, I've had no information whatsoever in the last 3-4 months as to whether, in fact, this is progressing well and the scheme would be deliverable. I'd like to go on and say that the biggest problem is that what you're now seeing is that developers are nibbling around the edges of this development plan. And under 31 in Appendix 2 of the document, number 31, Chairman, is an example of how this is happening. And my view is that that should be removed from the document. The reason I say that is, again, district councillors at our seminars expressed concern about houses being within the development plan coming directly off of the new road. They've now decided that that's not the case. They've got 3 sites, 2 that will come off of Broad Street Green and 1 off of Holloway Road. And members said if the development did go ahead, it should all come off the main spine road. If you take those developments separately, it would then mean that you don't need to provide a flood alleviation scheme, or it will be impossible to actually carry out part of the flood alleviation scheme. So the properties in Holloway Road, in fact, will now be worse off because we would be giving consent for 100 odd houses. Part of the development plan, part of the garden city, or whatever you like, garden suburb, and it's now being accessed via Holloway Road. Now, first of all, I would ask, what about the surface water drainage to that site? And part of that would be would form part of the flood alleviation scheme. So my objection is, Chairman, that no, that should not happen. If you're going to have the development, it should all come off the main spine road. The spine road goes in, then the flood alleviation scheme could in fact be developed. I'll go on and say, Chairman, that number 28 in this document also, I think, is the same situation. So I propose that if we delete paragraphs 5.51 and 5.52, that would solve the problem of any development coming off of the existing roads. All the development would then have to come off the main road. Can I now refer to number 64? I refer there, Chairman, that that is another situation. I can just find it. You're actually saying there, furthermore, major residential development proposals are required to provide comprehensive, robust flood assessments. It's the woolly way these statements are framed. Can I suggest, Chairman, it's all major, all residential development proposals will provide comprehensive, robust flood risk assessments to the council. And if that is the case, then again we've got the problem with Holloway Road. That development just could not happen without some sort of flood relief scheme. Number 66, Chairman, the infrastructure provision. I don't accept a wording to that, and I'll come back to paragraph 100 of the MPPF. Well, I believe inappropriate development is, in my opinion, development which is being promoted before the new road and the alleviation scheme and other required infrastructure is in place, taking the overall picture of Heybridge and not relying on just one location. It affects the whole of Heybridge, therefore I'm against the idea of phasing the development. That, Chairman, I think the Environment Agency will also confirm that surface water in Heybridge just does not is not just part of one area. It basically covers the whole of the Heybridge area. Paragraph 2.2.2 of the report makes this point, but it doesn't imply any changes to the document. And I find this is quite interesting. If you go to Appendix 1, there is an awful lot of concern about the way the development is being proposed and what's happening. But there has been no suggestion of any change or any alteration to the idea of the garden suburb. And basically ask the point, what's the point of a consultation if you're going to listen to people's views? You should really do something about it. And I can't see anything in this document that tells me that these consultations that have taken place have changed or altered, minor alterations, but no major alterations, which is basically the people in Heybridge don't particularly want this development. I propose also to delete number 66, Chairman, because if you do that, that will then safeguard the existing properties and it will ensure that the flood risk is not increased elsewhere. Thank you, Chairman, for allowing me to speak tonight on this subject. I am concerned. I am I still feel that we are looking at an area that needs an awful lot of work done to it with regard to infrastructure costs and infrastructure works. I'm still not getting any information come back to me to confirm whether this infrastructure is in fact deliverable, and I would certainly like some information with regard to that in the very near future, Chairman. Thank you.
Right, can I just first of all clarify the status of the addendum? It is in fact a response to the draft document. As you say, it's just merely a response. That is its status, and that's what you asked for in the first place. Does anyone else? Can I just ask, Councillor Cheshire, so far as I can see, your proposed amendments are that we delete powers 5.51, 5.52, number 66, and the others you made comments about, but I haven't got any clear idea of what amendments you're trying to make. If you could give me a list of the from the appendix two.
Yes, Chairman. Number 31.
Yeah, you're talking about the access roads, but you don't.
I feel yes, if that access road goes in there, Chairman, it would increase the flood risk elsewhere, and I think that's the concern that I have.
So, what do you want to do with 31 then? I mean, I'm trying to get a clear picture of how the council can deal with the concerns which you're expressing.
Deleted, Jim. So, Chair, basically, what I'm saying is there's no development, no new road accesses from the Garden suburb. We said from day one that all the development.
Yeah, I think we've actually made that point. You've made the point, but I'm just trying to get clear in my mind so that the council could consider what your amendments, the recommendations are. I've got that you wish to delete 5.1, 5.1, 5.52, number 31, and number 66. Does that cover what you're trying to do?
Yes, thank you, Jim.
Right. Anyone else wish to speak to this? Yes. Well, first of all, could I have a seconder to Councillor Cheshire's amendments? Right, thank you. That's been seconded. You wish to speak, Councillor Sliss?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Quite fine.
I think for clarification, first of all, there's a typing error on page 13, to get that out of the way. On reference number 28, rather than delete the whole paragraph, all we need to do is to alter the last but one line. So instead of the principal means of vehicle access, it's the only means of vehicular access. That's all we need to do for that one. I second the deletion of reference number 31, and on 66, we would just add to the end of the text, the council will seek delivery of the necessary infrastructure before occupation of the first dwelling.
Chairman, on a point of order, the seconder to the proposed amendment has now proposed amendments, which is in fact a different amendment. So I am not sure that this is a relevant amendment, because there is a conflict in what the proposer and the seconder are saying.
Okay, I'll withdraw what I said.
And I second the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Sliss, you indicated you wish to speak.
Yes, please.
And again, like Councillor Cheshire, I would imagine that you would expect me to. If I can start off by offering Councillor Cheshire a little bit of assistance. He wanted to know what the status of the strategic framework plan is. It's at 2.1.6, that if we consider it useful, I think are the exact words. If appropriate, the Council will consider the adoption of the Strategic Master Plan Framework as a supplementary planning document following adoption of the LDP. So its status at the moment is it isn't a supplementary planning document, but it may very well become one. I'm not entirely certain what response Councillor Cheshire was looking at when we look at the very few consultation responses we've had in. There were 38 responses in all, 5 of them were parish councils. There were 18 residents responded, 15 of them from 12 households in Hedwige, 2 responses from Great Totten, and 1 response from Langford. There wasn't a great deal in that that changed anything of substance within the plan. There were 1 or 2 minor amendments made, so certainly officers have offered to us amendments based on the consultation responses. I cannot understand how we could ever be asked to support a motion that was against the idea of phasing the development. There are over 1,000 houses on this development. They're not all going to spring up overnight, and they won't all be started at once. It's been generally accepted that 2 of the areas would be started separately, the area off Holloway Road and the area off Broad Street Green. They would need accesses to them. There is no intention of having a vehicular access between those 2 places or between that and the body of the development. That means that we won't be getting the sorts of rat runs that we've actually seen on other estates in Heybridge. That's been avoided. There will be pedestrian access and cycle access. I also would like to promote the idea of an access of Holloway Road. I don't think all the accesses to this new development should come from the relief road. Part of the reason we require this development is that there has been such, in my view, poor planning of Heybridge in the past, that we have vast areas of housing without any kind of social infrastructure at all. One of the things that some of the roads in will allow us to do is have a form of development where the new development can be percolated so that residents in the existing Elms Farm Park, for example, where there's not even a shop or any social meeting space at all, where residents can actually get through to that new area and use it, and therefore it will help and assist them and create a better community. We don't want a standalone community that can only be accessed from the outside or from above it. It has to be part of the existing community. All in all, I would suggest that some of the answers Councillor Cheshire has been looking for are contained in the consultation response number 20 from Essex County Council that goes to some detail about how the transport plan is coming about, and the later one, I think it was actually number 38, the final one that's caused the addendum to come to us tonight, from the Environment Agency, that gives us an indication of how the flood scheme will come about. So there's a lot of information circulating. There have been lots and lots of meetings. We've had a little bit of consultation, but I really do take Councillor Cheshire's point on board, and I think that we should respond to the consultees, particularly the consultee who has said, "This has been a long time in the waiting. I am asking you to proceed without further ado." I think that was one of the later consultations and came in from Great Totten. Thank you.
Yes, Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, just to say, Chairman, I recognise officers have looked at all these consultation responses and applied their professional knowledge to guide this council in the way forward regarding this framework, and I respect that, Chairman, and I think this council would be well heeded to note that and to go along with those. What I would say is, Chairman, also, I appreciate what Councillor Tish has made in respect to comments regarding flood risk provision, risk notification and environmental protection issues and infrastructure provision. But can I just say, Chairman, this strategic framework is being prepared in advance of the adoption of the LDP to enable key strategic issues such as infrastructure provision, flood risk mitigation and environmental protection to be addressed in a coordinated manner and to be put in place or enable to put in place a comprehensive framework for the preparation and submission of planning applications. Now, the framework articulates the principles set out in the LDP and provides supplementary guidance for developers preparing planning applications, Chairman. It does not set out detailed proposals, which I think Councillor Cheshire is trying to do. This will be a matter for determination through the planning application process. Now, changes to the draft document have been made to reflect proposed minor modifications to submission of the LDP, and these will be, Chairman, I must highlight, subject to examination. The document will be reviewed and amended to reflect any changes to the LDP following the examination in public and adoption of the LDP. So I think, Chairman, what I'm saying is we've had a document which was well drawn together. It's gone out to consultation. Officers have considered the consultation responses, have applied their professional knowledge, have suggested the minor modifications as detailed before members, asking us now to accept what is before Council tonight. And then I reiterate and I've indicated the process that will now happen, Chairman. And my recommendation would still be to go with the recommendation on the order paper, Chairman.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak on that matter? Well, I have the Leader of the Council.
Thank you, Chairman. To sum up, a personal statement, actually, I did not say, as Councillor Cheshire suggested, a supplementary. Mm-hmm. What I said was a material consideration, which is different. But having just clarified that point, I don't believe that I can add anything to those comments made by Ms. Lewis and Mrs. Channer, and would urge the Council to reject the amendment and to vote for the recommendation as I proposed earlier.
Thank you. I have before me a proposed amendment, duly seconded, that instead of little one, we have the proposed amendments as set out, with the exception of the deletion of 5.51, 5.52, number 31 and number 66. And I'm putting that to the Council. Those in agreement with that amendment, please indicate. Those against? Can I therefore put to you recommendation? Oh, are there any abstentions? Thank you. Right, it would appear that amendment has actually not been carried. So I'll put to you recommendations 1 and 2 on page 5 of 5. Those in favour, please indicate. Right. Vote against. Abstentions. Thank you. Right. That would appear that the recommendation has been carried, and I therefore move on to agenda item 9, which is a scheme of delegation review. It's found on item 9, page 1 of 3. There is in fact three recommendations at the end on page 3 of 3. Leader, please present this one.
Chairman, I move the recommendations as set out on page 3 of 3 under 5, 1, 2 and 3. I would point out that on the appendix under legal proceedings there is the delegation there that I believe is as is at the moment with slight amendments, and I would point out, Chairman, that later on in the meeting we will actually be amending substantially that proposal. But having said that, Chairman, I move the recommendations.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 10 is a Community Resilience Fund, and it's to seek a decision to decide whether or not you wish to include in the budget for next financial year monies to provide a donation to this fund.
Chairman, I will rise to move the recommendation, Chairman, but I believe that there will be a lot of opposition to it, so I'll formally move the recommendation and sit back to
it. With respect, the recommendation is for us to decide.
Yeah.
So at the moment, it isn't whether we're going to do it, it's whether we're going to decide to do it. Anyone wish to speak to this recommendation? Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. I read with dismay this report. If we have that much money, why aren't we reintroducing our grant scheme to our worthy charities and organisations in this district? I will not vote for this.
Thank you. Yes, Mrs. Harker.
Reluctantly,
we had to stop giving our grants to our local organisation.
£100,000 over 5 years is a tremendous amount of money that we could do an awful lot of good with in this district. So we have no guarantee that any of this money that we put in will come back as soon as we can. So I could not support this.
Thank you. Councillor
Sluice. Thank you. I can't support this. And in his telephone call to me earlier, Councillor Sisney also indicated that if he was to arrive, he wouldn't be supporting this. The main problem with it is that I think we are the smallest authority in the district, and yet it's not proportionate in any kind of way. If we can be expected to put in the same amount of cash as the as Chelmsford and the unitaries, do we actually think that we'd get a fair share back when they've got so many more people and different sorts of problems to us? We're also quite generous within our budgets. We're quite generous in this district anyway. We support a lot of local charities. We keep St. Sed's to support charities. We support the CAB to a great extent. And it's not as though we can't decide which charities of our own that we would like to support. So, like the first two speakers, if we do get to the position where we can afford to be even more generous than we currently are, I think that we could easily make better selections locally for where we spend our money.
Councillor Harker, do you wish to disagree with anything that's been said already?
Yeah. Sorry. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. At the end of the day, what it boils down to is who is best qualified to look at grants towards voluntary organisations in the Maldon district. The members of this district council or the Essex Community Foundation. Now, they do a lot of good work and I've had grants from them. But at the end of the day, we are in the best position to decide on grants for local voluntary groups and not the Essex Community Foundation.
Councillor Mr. Chandler, did you wish to speak?
Well, just briefly, Chairman, Councillor Miss Lewis raised my concerns, actually. I actually have to say, because of my background in the past with voluntary organisations and voluntary work, I recognise the good work that all voluntary bodies do, and I know it's increasingly difficult, Chairman, for what they carry out with the limited resources they have. And bearing in mind financial pressures on local authorities, I think it has been seen as the way forward. Perhaps consideration should be given to actually involving a more sort of joint working or partnership working with voluntary bodies. The concern I have is, like Ms. Lewis, with us having a small population and putting the same money in as all the larger authorities, I wonder how much that would be reflected, as Councillor Mrs. Harper said, in what does come back to this district. If perhaps it had come forward with their considerations, saying it was proportional based on population or something, I think that may be a different issue. But like Councillor Mr. Harker, I do recognise the good work that the Essex Community Foundation does. I've been on bodies that have received funding from it, and it is a way forward. But I think possibly I can see what Councillor Mrs. Harker is saying, in that this money, why can't we be the ones that, if we feel we've got that sort of figure to apply to voluntary bodies and work in partnership, we might be the ones best placed to offer the grants and indeed have SLAs set up to pinpoint the work we would like to be carried out on the council's behalf or in partnership with the council.
Thank you. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman. I concur with everything that my colleagues have said, and therefore I'd like to propose that we decide not to include the 20,000 in our forthcoming budget.
Seconded. Those in favour of that proposal, please indicate. Thank you. That finishes that matter. Next item is agenda item 11. Chief Executive Performance Appraisal. Leader of the Council, please.
Chairman, because of inaccuracies in this report, I wish at this stage to withdraw it.
Thank you. Agenda item 12, questions to the Leader of the Council in accordance with rule number 1, little 3. Councillor Beale.
Chairman, at the last meeting on our minutes, and at 4 hours 7, I did bring up about the situation of fly posting everywhere over the district, and I was hoping we could have some progress on that situation.
On that situation, and I was wondering, as I haven't heard anything for over a month now, what moves are intended to see that something like this is brought into operation.
Yes, Chairman, I apologise to Councillor Beale. I have got an answer for him, which I will have circulated. But it is quite encouraging, the answer. It seems that road travelling circuses do have the right to put up notices. There are conditions around that, and the council will have a report coming forward to cover the issue of fly posting in the district. And I will, Chairman, as I said, make sure that this is circulated to Councillor Beale and to all members of the council.
Thank you very much,
Chairman. Could I come back on that? I know I brought up about circuses, but I did say it was the general one of everybody else as well, so we cover all the other parts.
It is. Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. Lee, I'm sure you know 40 years ago tonight was the rumble in the jungle, but tonight we've got the hole in the road outside the Toad yet again at Latchenden, making it almost impossible to get off of the marshes through Latchenden and out of the district. This is particularly difficult in the mornings yet again for the commuters from my wards and all the wards east of that point. I know Essex County Council said, Leader, they were going to toe the line and communicate with us to let us know what's going on with the roadworks in Latchenden and try and coordinate them. But I really do think, Leader, that it's time that we met formally with Essex County Councils and hopefully the utility providers so that we can make sure that these roadworks are managed properly. This evening they went home at 4 o'clock. I understand that they'll be commencing tomorrow morning at 8 or 9 a.m., which means it's going to be a miserable commute for the 6,000 vehicles that will go through Latchenden tomorrow morning. I would ask you that we try and meet with Essex County Council to see what we can do. And I would add further weight to that request, Leader, from the conversations that were held on Tuesday evening when we all agreed that it was absolutely important that we do have proper road links, but we must maintain what we've got and keep them open, Leader. Thank you.
I sympathise with Councillor Fluker's observations. Some time ago, I wrote to Essex and Suffolk Water, copying in Essex County Council. The major problem in the in Burnham Road, Latchenden, is a water sewer that is constantly bursting because it is apparently of some concrete construction that has absorbed water and now bursts at the slightest opportunity. The County Council had got a programme to resurface the street and Burnham Road, and I wrote to the County suggesting that they liaise with Essex and Suffolk Water about renewing this main supply to prevent the constant repairs and hold-ups that are causing by bursts. I did get a response from the County Council. They agreed to hold off the programme of resurfacing because it would have been purely a waste of money. I have not as yet heard back from Essex and Suffolk Water, and this week I had been intending to actually send them a reminder With this in mind, I will try again to contact Essex and Suffolk Water to with a view to putting pressure on them from the council, and from my position as an Essex County Councillor, declare that interest, Chairman, relay this pipe, because Councillor Fielker's right. I think he underestimates the amount of traffic that comes out. It's probably 6,000 or 7,000, if not more. Thank you, Chairman.
Anyone else wish to make to question the leader about? Okay, thank you very much for that. That brings us to agenda item 13, business, which is urgent. There isn't any. And that brings us then to agenda 14, which is to resolve that under section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that they involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 3, 4 and 5 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Act. This satisfies the public interest. The first being schemes of delegation, general provisions, and the next one is 16, which is an update of the waste environment services contract.